This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. The NBC comedy Friends completes its 10th and final season tonight.
What do you got there?
Condoms, dude.
Well, how come the writing is in Spanish?
Don't read my condoms.
It's been one of the most drawn-out goodbyes in television history. NBC had originally said the 9th season would be the last. Because this is a milestone in television history, we're going to deconstruct the Friends phenomenon a little bit. But first, the show itself. Here's an assessment from Slate's Chris Sullentrop.
TV writers are hyping tonight's Friends finale as the last gasp of television's last great situation comedy. To cite only the most literal example, the cover of Entertainment Weekly lumped Friends with the finales of Sex and the City and Frasier to ask, are sitcoms dead? In today's fragmented TV universe, the theory goes, no one sitcom will again be able to garner an audience large enough for its finale to prompt an outburst of nationwide mourning. There are obvious flaws in the sitcoms are dead hypothesis. For one, most writers vastly overestimate the size of the Friends audience. As one TV critic put it this week, 7 out of 8 American homes don't watch Friends. This is mass appeal? But there's another, more fundamental problem with hailing Friends as the last great situation comedy. It isn't a sitcom. It's a soapcom, a soap opera disguised by the trappings of situation comedy. While it looks and sounds like a family sitcom, consider what's different. The beautiful people with opulent lifestyles, the explicit sexual content, the long multi-episode story arcs, and the cliffhanger endings to each season are the show's real hallmarks.
Aye, Ross.
Aye, Ross.
Take thee, Emily.
Take thee, Rachel. Emily. Emily.
Shall I go on?
Somewhere along the way, TV drama and TV comedy switched places. It's fairer to call shows like Law & Order and CSI sit dramas than it is to call Friends a sitcom. Law & Order's syndicated success hinges on the tidiness of each episode. You can shuffle all the episodes together and deal them out in any order you like, and no one will care, and few will even notice. But if you shuffled Friends 10 seasons and aired them in random order, you wouldn't have the slightest bit of continuity from show to show. Friends is Dallas without the shootings. Rather than wrapping up plots in 30 minutes, Friends stretches them at least over several episodes, or in the case of Ross and Rachel's relationship, all 10 seasons.
Come to London, please. It would mean so much to me.
Yeah, I gotta work. I'm sorry.
Oh, why can't you take a couple of days off?
Because I can't, Ross. I told you. No, I can't.
This is my wedding. Fine, you'll watch it on video when we get back.
Believe it or not, in structure, the show that Friends may most resemble is The X-Files. Some episodes are self-contained, but others expand upon a series-long story arc that grows more convoluted and harder for non-devotees to follow with each passing season. On sitcoms, of course, big changes sometimes happen. As with Friends, characters get married or have babies or go to London. But the writers of sitcoms use such plot devices as exogenous shocks to try to revive a dying system. Can't think of anything new to write? Have the family adopt a homeless kid. Friends, by contrast, never pretended that it was about a static environment, an unchanging situation in which to insert comedy. You don't tune into Friends to watch wacky hijinks. Will Chandler get stuck in an ATM booth? But to find out what happens next in a plotline you've been following. That's why tonight, tens of millions will tune in to see the completion of a 10-year story arc. Will Ross and Rachel finally work this thing out, for crying out loud?
Chris Sullentrop writes the assessment column for Slate.